Well, my name is Dennis Cronin, and you're sitting here in the law offices of Dennis D.C. Cronin. What would you like to know about my practice?
Are there particular areas that you focus on?
Well, I've been practicing for approximately 33 years, and if you go to my website, denniscroninforjudge.com, you'll see my resumes posted there. It's about, 15 pages long if you printed it out, and that's the summary. So I don't know if we'd have enough time to go through that, nor really a desire, perhaps. Right now I'm doing complex family law work, domestic relations. Victims' rights, I'm an appellate attorney up in the courts of appeal. You would see on the website a variety of appeals that I've done. I do a lot of administrative law, child abuse allegations. I do all of Chapter 26 on domestic matters. It's a varied practice. Those are the emphases right now. As you may know, when you're a domestic attorney, you're primarily a general practice. And so I do quite a lot of other areas of the law included in the domestic work. We're on tape, so we don't have the ability to see today, but I printed out for you for an example. Guessing perhaps that would be the question. Here are the caseloads of the courts of Washington out of the Administrative Office of the Courts for January 2018 through May 2018. And you can see here that in Superior Court in Spokane, which is position 10, which I'm running for, they as of June 2018, they had 28,305 cases filed. In the Municipal Court in Spokane, on these same printouts, May of 2018, there were 7,709 cases filed. And you can see in Municipal Court, they do traffic, non-traffic, traffic, civil protection orders, small claims, felony complaints sometimes, although this shows there were none in Spokane, parking issues. In the Superior Court, what the Superior Court does is they do criminal felonies. They do civil, like medical malpractice. I've done those in jury trials and civil cases, personal injury, it's in my resume. Domestic cases, probates and guardianships, adoptions and paternity, mental illness, alcohol, the specialty courts, juvenile dependency when the state of Washington's involved with the family and their children, juvenile offender for kids getting in trouble. And you can see then the statistics. And what does this show you? This shows you that in Superior Court, in all domains, families are at issue. And all of these proceedings, whatever they may be, including the felony criminal practice, which I have quite a lot of experience in, all affect families in one way or another. And so that's why when I say I'm a complex family law attorney, I visit all these areas in one form or another. And I've been doing that for 33 years. 10 of those 33 as a commissioner pro tem in the Superior Court from 2005 to 2015.
And what does a commissioner do?
Well, in Superior Court, a commissioner does not do jury trials. And until recently, did not do anything involving criminal matters. Now it depends on the county and how they're assigned, but now the county in Spokane does allow commissioners to do warrants. When I was there, that was not the case. They do a variety of things in all of these domains, sitting in different capacities, whether it's family law or on the ex parte docket, where the local bar comes in with a variety of orders that need to be signed or hearings that need to be held or just a variety of areas. They help the Superior Court judges with the caseload. It's basically what they do.
So lots of lawyers go to the bench for various reasons. What's your reason for wanting to be a judge full-time?
Well, if you look at what's happening in the Superior Court, and particularly with these caseloads and these statistics, there are families that are being traumatized over in that court, more so than when they come in. I mean, they come in under trauma. The families, in one way or another, are having serious problems. That's why they're in court. The system over there is just making the trauma worse. Access to justice is a big problem in the Superior Court. Having efficient systems to handle matters is a very big problem in Superior Court. As a small business owner for the last 18 years, I think I have the capabilities and training to know how to do budgets, know how to do audits, know how to run staff efficiently, and the things that you need to do to have a successful business. Same thing in the Superior Court, you have to have those talents. And so as a private practitioner and a private business owner, I have these talents. I can't stand by watching the trauma over there and the people being more traumatized as the cases go on without stepping in. You can't just stand by and look at that and do nothing. It shouldn't take 2 years for a family that's restructuring to get a divorce. It shouldn't cost $50,000 for a family that's restructuring to get a divorce. Families who are in trauma need a judicial officer who has an interdisciplinary training, such as myself, and a trauma-informed mind when looking at cases. And that goes across the board. The collateral consequences for a lot of the decisions that are made over there are not only serious, they can be generational. And as you're over there watching what's going on, you need a judicial officer that has the requisite training, experience, and skill across all domains. And I have that toolbox. And I'm wanting to be a judge to help these families in Spokane County.
So what sorts of changes need to be made?
Well, positive change, of course.
Oh, sure.
There's a variety of possibilities to explore. Some of them are being explored now. If you look at the statistics coming out of Olympia and the Superior Court, we have the civil needs reports that came out of the Washington Supreme Court, which show that there's just some serious needs in the justice system for attending to children, mental health, addiction, and you need the specialty trained judicial officers and courts set up to do that. And we don't have enough in Spokane County. We need to come up with ways to avoid collateral consequences that continually make matters worse, such as we were talking before we got on here today with the LFOs and the problems that not being able to pay your legal financial obligations are causing people, particularly people who are coming out of formerly being imprisoned and can't make the payments, causing them to have consequences that continue to make it so that they can't get ahead, as one example. We have technological issues. Our clerk, Tim Fitzgerald, is trying to work on those too, to bring the court system up to 2018, so that we can have a more efficient and effective and cost-saving product. Together collegially with the other judges on the court, this needs to be addressed. It hasn't been addressed for a long time. And you can see from the statistics when you have, as of June 2018, starting in January, 28,305 cases filed. And not all of these cases have lawyers representing people in our do-it-yourself world today. And frankly, people can't afford lawyers. That's a big problem. And there has to be other systems thought about and pursued for alternative dispute resolution. I'm the vice president of Northwest Mediation on the board. I've been involved in mediation for some time. There are alternative ways to resolve disputes other than the traditional manner of hiring lawyers, going to court, spending a lot of money for over a year, going through motions and practice, and then you can do it quicker, you can do it cheaper, you can do it in a more dignified manner, such as mediation, facilitative mediation, or an arbitration, and these other ways to handle things.
How would you as a judge make sure that's done more often?
Well, that's what a judge should be doing. That's why I paused. The case comes before you for a status conference. You, as the judge, ask the people that are appearing before you, what's the status of the case? What does this case need? Rather than being wedded to expediency and wanting to move the cases, and not giving them the attention they deserve, when those people come before you on a status conference, you need to engage a discussion. And then based upon what the case needs, then you would make some decisions. For example, we now in domestic courts issue case scheduling orders pretty much without any involvement of the judicial officer. And the dates on the case scheduling orders are computer generated. You give the judge your trial date, or you say it's going to take 2 days to go to trial on this, and the judge will give you the trial date. And then all the other dates come out of a computer. So you'll actually get dates on the scheduling order that have already passed. And so that's an issue. That's a problem that needs to be addressed. You're getting scheduling orders issued without input from counsel or the parties as to what their schedules are. And so then when the date arrives, no one's ready. And you got to have a continuance at great expense. Civil cases, there's problems with what are called carry costs. When you have a personal injury case and you got your, and it's same for all cases, but particularly in the civil arena of personal injury, you have, as an example, a medical malpractice case. You're going to have several expert witnesses that are costing very large sums of money, ready to go for trial, which is very, very expensive. And then the trial gets continued at the last minute, and then you now doubled up all that cost, and it causes a very serious problem for both the plaintiff and the defendant for access to justice. So there are some systemic issues that need to be addressed in the Spokane County Superior Court.
Do they seem to be getting worse?
In my opinion, that's my observation. That's why I'm running, one of the reasons I'm running for position 10 in the Spokane County Superior Court.
We talked about LFOs. The Washington legislature approved a bill this year that made changes to LFOs. What do you think about that bill? What's better? What's still needs to be worked on?
I'm not allowed to answer that question under the canons. Canon 1 and Canon 4 say that a judicial officer, as well as someone running for judicial office, has to be impartial and independent and cannot show any indication, predilection for which way they may or may not rule should an issue come before that person. And as you know, LFOs are coming before the court frequently, almost daily. So I would not be allowed to voice an opinion on any legislation.
Okay. How do you think, what is your view about what the public knows about the judicial system? Is it, you know, we see a lot of it on TV. Is what we think we see, does it match what really the system is all about?
Sadly, in my experience, the public knows very little about the judicial system. They don't know what judicial officers do. They don't know their backgrounds. They don't know anything really about the judicial officers. And particularly when you have a judiciary who does not want to be involved in the community, which I think is something a judicial officer needs to do, is you're not only in the courthouse, the castle over there, right behind us, right behind you, doing the hourly job, you have to be out in the community educating the public. What do you do as a judge? What does the process look like? How does the process work? And the public doesn't know that, and so frequently, the judicial offices is what's called the undercard on the ballot. And all you see are names. And you don't know very much at all. And that's somewhat compounded by the fact that the judicial canons prevent judicial officers from saying quite a lot about who they are, how they may or may not think about something, which not only compounds it, but it also causes some judicial officers to be fearful of saying anything. And so the public then is short-sheeted, if you will, because they don't know.
Is there a better way to elect judges or pick judges?
You know, that's a debate that's been going on for as long as the United States of America has been in existence.
And will continue to be, no doubt.
Sure. You can go back to the Federalist Papers and how they formed the National Supreme Court. I mean, it's just a continual discussion. And in Washington, we select our judges by election or appointment. And, you know, every judge should run for election so the people can have a voice. That doesn't always happen, because judges get appointed and then incumbency. And when the people don't have much information and people don't challenge the incumbent, then you continue to have judges who aren't challenged, and that can be a problem, particularly in a society where we want to elect our judges. So there are pros and cons, of course. It's continually debated. In Washington, we either appoint or we elect, and that's how we do it.
So I'll finish with this. As I look over your left shoulder, I see a picture of Carl Maxey. What role did Carl Maxey play in your life?
Carl Maxey, a dear friend of mine, my mentor, he taught me close to everything I know about the practice of law and being a professional attorney and the business of law. Carl Maxey took me out of legal services back in the 80s, around 86 or so, if I get the date right about then, when I was a poverty lawyer. And from there, for the next 15 years, I worked for Carl Maxey, became his partner, became his personal attorney, became the firm's attorney, went all over Washington, got the privilege of learning how to write appeals and going to the Washington State Supreme Court, doing federal practice, practicing in every county in eastern Washington, with an emphasis in Ponderé and Spokane and Stevens and Lincoln and Whitman, the surrounding area, but all the ways over to the mountains and into Goldendale. Carl was an amazing man, an amazing influence, and I am who I am as a lawyer because of him. So when he passed away, now it's been 21 years this month, I think it was the 17th or 18th, if I'm not mistaken. If you recall, we had the community had a service down at the Ridpath in the Grand Ballroom, and Reverend Happy Watkins held up a giant boot or shoe. Happy calls it a boot. I thought it was a shoe. Anyway, he held it up and he said, "We need to fill this shoe, fill this boot." It's the other reason I want to be a judge. I want to fill as best as I can that shoe for the citizens of Spokane.
Okay, was there anything I didn't ask you that you wanted to go to that you thought was important?
Just to make sure that folks go to my website, DennisCroninForJudge.com, and you can see my community involvement, my endorsements. You can see the community organizations that are behind me and all my ratings, my preeminent ratings, my exceptionally well-qualified ratings. And what you will not see on my website is an endorsement from a sitting judge in Spokane County, because I purposely do not solicit those endorsements, because I think that's problematic ethically. To be appearing before a judge who's endorsed you, what would that say to your opponent and your opponent's client, or the reverse? And so that's a problematic issue for me. So you won't see judges endorsing me. That's intentional. But you'll see all the other endorsements and people who support me, as well as my qualifications and my resume.